All right. We're going to wrap up our series today on Got Prayer. This is the fifth part, and mainly the beginning of this series, as well as all the way through the first four parts, I was dealing with the aspect of relationship with God, because to me, that's the primary reason for prayer. But I didn't feel I was going to probably do you any service if I left out maybe a pattern of prayer. And that's kind of what this is. We're going to go through this. This here, what I have is a something from the Navigators. And everybody has five fingers here today, right? Anybody not have five fingers? All right. Or four fingers and a thumb. Depends how technical you get. All right. So this is a download. It's a free download. Anybody can get it. And it talks about five different parts of prayer. I'm going to go over this today. This is a very simplistic pattern for prayer. And then on the back of the page, I copied down the main scripture for each one, as well as I added three scriptures. Each week I've been trying to help you to learn how to pray the Word. So you could look up these other scriptures if you want and pray those as you go through each of these steps. And I believe that'll help you in your prayer life. And I'll be honest, there's a selfish reason why I'm teaching on prayer. Because I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the lost. I want you to pray for this church. And I would like you to pray for me and my wife. Amen?
Amen.
So, I think this will help us because sometimes we don't know how to pray. It's been kind of recorded that there's around 650 prayers mentioned in the Bible. And there's around 450 answer to prayers mentioned in the Bible. So that's around a 69 to 70% success rate. And I'll be honest, not all the answers are recorded and not all the prayers are reported. But to me, that means that prayer must be important to God and that you and I need to develop the habit of prayer in our daily life. You know, we need to remember that Jesus didn't tell us to go and make Christians. And we're supposed to witness, but he actually told us to go and make disciples. And to be honest, it's a disciple that prays. That's a disciplined follower. That's somebody following Christ. Anybody can get born again and then go about their business. But I'll tell you what, when we start to take it serious about what our responsibility is, that's when we start to see things happen. You know, only consistent things in our life do we ever get good at. And prayer is one of those things that we need to get good at. It's just very important. And, you know, we usually focus on what prayer can do for me, but I really found out in my life that I found out what prayer can do to me, what it's done in my life. And that's why we need to develop a system. Now, systems work. Good systems bring success, but systems only work when we choose to work the system. A little bit of a system. Some of you may work at a factory. Now, if you're building a car, one person just don't build that car from start to finish. They only do a part. They do a, because the factory has developed a system where it's better if you get into a system of how you do things, it's more efficient. And it's like that in our relationship with God. I don't want to just turn our relationship into a system, but yet I believe that you and I need to have a system where we try to find success in our life. Week one, we looked at prayer connects us with God. Two, our God is our Father. Week three, we looked at prayer takes persistence. Last week, we looked at prayer causes us to care, and today, systematic prayer will bring certain results. As I mentioned, this was taken from the Navigators, and it's 5 points. We're going to look at those briefly. I'll be honest, for me, I use this system a little bit, but this one here starts with confession. I like to start my prayer time with God, with praise and worship to God, not singing, because you've all heard me sing. But what God doesn't mind my voice, but primarily what I do is I like to just worship God for a minute because I go like the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's a holy God. So I like to start mine with lifting that up. So you can interject that if you want. If not, no big deal. All right, the first one we look at is confession, 1 John 1:9. And that's found on your little finger. Now, I thought about this. This would be a great conversation starter. Get a Sharpie. And it depends how good your writing is. But write each of these on your finger. Or if you're really bold, have them tattooed. I don't know what that'd cost. But wouldn't that be a great conversation starter to be a witness? Somebody at work would say, hey, what do you got written on your hand? Well, it's about how I can help get close to God. How do you get close to God? What do you do?
There you go.
Hello. We just opened up the door for conversation right there. All right. So 1 John 1:9 is confession, the first step. And it's good, like I say, I worship, but confession's important. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's go ahead and pray here. Father, we thank you for the word, and we thank you for the anointing on it to break every yoke of bondage on our life. Lord, we want to get close to you because we know that you want to get close to us. Lord, we know that you've extended yourself by grace to us, Lord, but we need to step out in faith and respond back. Lord, help us to learn how to pray better and have a better connection with you. We bind Satan from stealing the word. I yield to the gift and you put in me, and I use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Okay, 1 John 1:9. I just want to clarify that this was written to Christians. 1 John was written to a church. So evidently, I don't know, Christians must sin. You reckon? So that's why we need to start by repenting. What I feel like is that when we repent, it kind of cleanses, it gives us a clean slate. You know, it's kind of like if you see a bunch of words on the blackboard, if I wrote different sins up here, when you repent, it just wipes them away and takes them out. See, God's perfect, but we're not. And that's why it's important, you know, we just mention the blood of Jesus, say, God, thank you for your blood that cleanses us, and thank you for cleansing me. Some of the things that we do, we have two kinds of sin. That breaks it down a little bit. We have sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins of commission is talking about things that we do. We all make mistakes. We do stupid stuff sometimes. We say something we should not have said to somebody. We hurt somebody's feelings. We may go out and do something we shouldn't have done, whatever the case may be. So that's a sin of commission. Now, the sins of omission, we kind of forget sometimes, but that are things that we should have done. You know, we miss it sometimes, don't we? Maybe we felt a prompting of God to have us go do something, or maybe we should have said something. Maybe we're not following through with what we did, and it kind of enters us into sin. So those are two kinds of sins that that need to be repented of. I'd like to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me where I've missed it. Because the Holy Spirit's a teacher. He's the revealer. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So bring him into your prayer life. Acknowledge his existence. You know, and when I pray, I come to Lord Jesus and I acknowledge he's the good shepherd. Now, a shepherd takes care of his sheep, you know. You know, ask the sheep, that the shepherd, to take care of you. See, God already knows our sin, but he just wants us to acknowledge it so we can deal with it and get rid of it. And I want to clarify, it's not that we're unworthy to go to God, because, you know, we all have sin issues in our life and things that we're still dealing with. But what we need to know is the fact it's not about being unworthy. It's just about dealing with some stuff. Remember Jesus, he washed the disciples' feet, right? You remember that story in John chapter 13? You know, they came there and they kind of felt, I've never been a part of a foot washing service. I know some people have. It's really kind of an interesting thing. It's kind of touching. I've never found anybody I want to wash their feet. You know, maybe my wife I would, I don't know. But anyway, I probably should do everybody's here now that I've shot my mouth off. But anyway, Jesus was washing their feet, and Peter, you know, he's all talkative all the time. He says, no, Lord, no, don't wash my feet, because, you know, that only the lowest servant in the house would wash people's feet, because they all wore sandals, right? They would maybe get cleaned up before they went to a party, then they'd have to walk to the party. And have you ever wore sandals out in the dust? Well, your feet get dirty, right? So then the lowest person in the household, the lowest servant, their job was to wash the feet. And they didn't want Jesus doing that because he was too good for that, they said. Well, Jesus says, you know, he kind of mentioned, you know, you've already been cleaned, but yet because you're out in the world, you need to kind of need a touch up every now and then. And we need a touch up every now and then. So that's a good time to do it, right when you start your prayer. Don't let that stuff, to me, I picture, they don't do it anymore, but when somebody used to get married back when I was a kid, they would tie a bunch of tin cans behind the car, so when they drove off, it'd clink, 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 make a bunch of noise. You know, when you repent, it just cuts that string and gets rid of them tin cans, which are a representative to me of sin. You know what I mean? It just gets rid of that stuff, and being able to deal with it makes you more presentable to God. Now, that's the first one's confession. So the next one, we're going to look at petition. Now, in between the two fingers is a gap, right? I encourage you to pause in between each of these five steps. Take a moment just to listen for God. You know, see what God will say to you. And that would, he might talk to you. He may give you a witness on the inside. The next scripture is found in 1 Samuel 1:27. It says, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition and asked for him." Here's Hannah, who was a mother who wanted to have a child and she couldn't get pregnant. And so she went to the temple and she prayed an honorable prayer and asked God to give her a son. And God answered her prayer. And that's what a petition is. So a petition is when you ask for things for yourself. So you ask God to provide for your needs. Now remember in the Lord's Prayer model, Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread," right? So to me, I see two parts in there. Number one, he said, "Give us this day." So that means you pray daily. You pray daily for your needs. And you ask for God, and it infers that you're going to ask for God's provision. Now, you and I, being the very efficient people that we are, we would probably like to do it this way. "Father, I thank you for providing for my needs until I die." Amen. And never have to talk to him again. Right? That's how efficient we are, but that's not how it works. Jesus said daily. God wants us to come to him daily. So to me, that's getting us to the place in our life where, you know, maybe you think you're something, you know what I mean? Maybe you think you're all efficient, all knowing, you can do anything. But God wants us to see that we have to come to him and be humble. "God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need to be dependent on you." God wants his children to be dependent on him. So when we go to the petition part, it's good to acknowledge our dependency on God, that we can't do it all alone, that we need him working in our life. And that's a good place to be. So we're praying that God's will has been done in our life. That's what I do for my life. "God, I want your will to be done." I have a will. You have a will. But God has a will. Now, I want my will to line up with God's will. I've just been around God long enough to know that God's plan is better than my plan. I'm a halfway decent planner, but I do know that God is better. God has a better plan for my life. And I found out, you know, that when I follow God's plan, that's that most joyful place I could ever be, when I'm in God's plan, no matter what that is. You know, my role as a husband, my role as a father, provider, whatever it is in my family, I just want to be in the center of God's will. Well, I found out, move from self-sufficient to God-sufficient. We just need to develop that dependency. Now, God knows our needs. He's all-knowing. But he still wants us to ask. And we need to be as specific as possible. You know, I'll be honest, I prayed. I don't know if you've been in the adult room or prayer room. It's adult room, prayer room. I can't remember what else we use that room for, but whatever we need. But how many remember the furniture? Now, Art got the furniture that I gave. I should have prayed Art would have got better furniture, but Art, when I got rid of it, wanted our furniture, and that was a blessing to him. He didn't have any. But I tell you, I was in there one night, and Pat and I and Denise were in praying, and all of a sudden, I just felt prompted to pray. I said, "Lord, you know, none of this stuff matches." I mean, I praise God for everybody that donated stuff to the church, but there wasn't lick. Oh, we had two chairs that matched. And anybody remember sitting in those chairs, what that was like? You almost needed help getting up out of them because you just sent down. But nothing in there matched. And I'll be honest, I don't have to have nice things, but I wanted a little nicer prayer, a little nicer chairs to sit on. You know what I'm saying? Or couches. So I just prayed. I said, "God, you know, I want this stuff to match. I mean, I'm tired of looking like a hobo, you know, here at the church or something like that." And I'll be honest, you know, all of a sudden then a family member was getting rid of some stuff. It's leather. Lazy Boy. So we have a love seat and a couch in there now, as well as the other stuff that matches kind of. I should have prayed harder and got more stuff, but that's all good. I am happy with what we have. I am happy with what we have. It is very nice and it's presentable if we have a guest come in, that it doesn't look like something the cat drug in. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but God answered that prayer, and there's just been other things recently, you know, that I've witnessed God answering prayer. But I really wanted that. You know, and the closer that we are to God, I believe the less selfish our prayers become. And I found that out in my life. When I was a baby Christian, all I did was ask for stuff. And I'll be honest, I mean, that's all I knew. That's what prayer was supposed to be. God, help me do this. God, help me do that. And I'll just be honest, that's where I was at. But as I got close to God, I stopped asking for stuff all the time, and I wanted God, and then with that, God gave me some things. I really believe God prompted my heart to ask for that stuff. I mean, it was manageable in there. But you know, I think God wanted to show that he can provide. And just like Lebecca's testimony today was awesome, how God answers prayer. All right, the next point, we're going to talk about intercession. Now, that was petition. So we start with confession, went to petition, which is asking for ourselves. Now, we're going to ask for others. Ephesians chapter 6, and it goes to verse 18 and verse 19. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. That last part is one of my key scriptures for life. That scripture, ever since I read it after I got saved, I wanted to be able to speak boldly. God would put words in my mouth to say. So when you're praying for me, pray that part. I want that part. You know, that in Galatians 2:20 was my two theme scriptures. But we're going to look at intercession. So what intercession is, you've already asked for your stuff, and you could have said amen and went on about your business, but now we're going to ask for other people. You may have people you like in your life that you want to see blessed, amen? Hopefully you do. So that's asking God to provide for others. Now, I pray God's will is done in my wife and my children's lives and other people in the church. I pray that God's working in their life. I'm wanting to see God bless people and, you know, maybe help them if they need jobs or whatever the case may be. Whatever God drops on your heart. Scripture also talks about standing in the gap on behalf of others. You know, we need to pray for the lost. If we're not praying for the lost, that's a sin of omission. Amen? Amen. If we don't pray for the lost, we should have took care of that in 1 John 1:9. Because that's a sin of omission. I mean, how selfish is it if we go to heaven and we're not concerned about the people around us that we know and love? They're going to die and go to a devil's hell, and that's just the way it is. I didn't write it. That's just the way it is. That's how real it is. So we need, at this time, you know, you need to pray for the lost. You need to pray that, you know, God will open their eyes to see. You got to pray for your loved ones, whoever they are. You know, pray that God's working in their lives. I really believe in the law of sowing and reaping. I believe if we sow prayers, there's a good chance we might reap some prayer in our life. Amen? Amen? So how it's bad if we just want people to pray for us, but we don't want to pray for anybody else. Next, Ezekiel 22:30. You know, God is looking around. He talked to Ezekiel here. He's looking for someone to stand in the gap and intercede so they wouldn't destroy the nation. You know, if our nation needs anything now, we need prayer warriors, man. You know, that God won't, you know, step in. And, you know, I know a lot of people say, ah, it's a Christian nation. Yeah. Well, we don't act like Christian nation. And I'll be honest, the Jewish people were God's chosen people to bring the Messiah, and God let them go into Babylon into captivity because they rebelled against God. So I couldn't stand up here and look at you with a straight face and say that we don't need to pray for our nation because everything's going to be all right. Because I believe it won't be. I believe there's a lot of people going to go through some pain and heartache that they don't have to go through, all because Christians will not fall to their knees and pray. Prayer changes things because prayer changes me. And that's what we need to do. We need to pray that prayer changes other people. Also, the idea of spiritual warfare. As sure as there's a God, there is a devil. This is a good time to do warfare against the devil. You know, bind up them principalities and powers, those rulers in high places. That God of this world who has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. You know, speak it out against him. You know, we have authority in the name of Jesus. And this is a good time to use that authority when we're praying for ourselves and for other people. And we need to stand in the gap and we need to pray and be able to see, you know, God's will be done. His kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a good time to do that. And here's a good one I like. In Galatians chapter 4:19, Paul prayed a lot for his churches and for the people that he led to the Lord. You know what he prayed? He said, I'm in labor until Christ is formed in you. Have you ever prayed that Christ is formed in somebody? Maybe we should. Pray that Christ Jesus' life is going to start living through your husband or your wife or your children. So it's a good thing to say, that's not a selfish prayer. That's a prayer I believe God will move on. Now, they have a free will, so you can pray that they open up to it and all that stuff. But primarily, if that's part of making disciples. You know, it's good that we make Christians, but God wants us to make disciples. And what I found out, that even the most introverted person can make a difference in prayer. Now, you may say, I could never get up in front of people and talk to them about God or to say anything to them because I'm shy. But I'll tell you what, you can be as bold as a lion when you're talking to your Heavenly Father. You can go in there and pray and ask God, you know, that His will is going to be done, that you have authority in the name of Jesus because you're a child of God. Next part we're going to look at, I'm kind of go through these kind of fast. I got a little later start today, but, you know, about Thanksgiving. You know, we have Thanksgiving coming up in our country here pretty soon, but we ought to be a people of Thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, it says, always, not just sometimes, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. That's Ephesians 5:20. Now, when you get to this point in your finger, this is the fourth stop. Remember, in the gaps, you try to stop and pause. Maybe God will speak to you. But you thank Him for what He's done. It's a good time to look back on your life and your last week or your month or however long you want to look back. And just thank Him. God, I thank You for doing this, because that just stimulates your faith when you remember things that God has already done. And also thank Him for what God is going to do yet, because God's still going to do some things. You know, thank Him for your spouse. I know I thank God for my wife, because the Bible says he who has a wife has a good thing. Amen. Amen. All you men ought to be praying that one all the time. And tell your wives you're praying it. You'd be surprised how good she'll start cooking for you. Amen. You know, you just get them special things that you've always been wanting. You know, so you thank Him for that. And what we need to do is thank Him in advance for answered prayer. Let's say you're believing God for a job. So you, in your petition part, which is your second part, God, I thank You. I feel I'm more qualified. I want a better job. I need to make more money, support my family, da-da-da. You're going to that. Well, then when you get down to this fourth part, you say, God, I thank You for giving me that job. I thank You for what You've done in my life. You've always been my provider. And I thank You, I just remind You, Lord, that I'm faithful as a steward of everything that You've given me. And I will give back accordingly to how You've given me, Lord. I just want to honor You. So you can thank God that way. So just, you know, it's a way of being thankful. So thanksgiving is really an attitude of gratitude and deep appreciation. Now you may feel that you don't have diddly squat. You know what I mean? Compared to other people. Well, boo-hoo. Quit looking at other people. Don't compare yourself to other people. I could always find somebody that's got more toys than I got. You know what I'm saying? But I can always find somebody that's got less toys than I got too. I don't look to either of them. I just compare my relationship with God for me. That's how I learn to be content in all circumstances, Paul said. So don't look at all that other stuff, you know. It's a proven fact. Thankful people are happy people. And the problem is that sometimes we don't get thankful because we focus too much on what we don't have. Focus on what you do have. You know, maybe you got an old car and you want a newer car. Instead of saying, oh God, I'm, you know, so-and-so got a car and I was praying for one and they got one ahead of me. You know, boo-hoo. Well, thank God you got a car that runs. And if you got, you know, well, I got a flat tire, Pastor. Well, 3 out of 4 is still working. Come on. You know, thank Him for the 3 that are flat. You know, if that's what it takes, but get an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. And you know, it's just important. You know, and I'll be honest, don't thank God for everything. Thank God in everything. You know, I don't thank God, you know, that if something bad happens to me that I know is from the devil. You know, you've heard the old joke, somebody said, well, I thank God I got a new car. I got in a car wreck and I was in the hospital for 6 months, but I got a new car out of the deal. Well, you know, I don't know if I'd be thankful for all that. You know, I'd just soon not have to get in the accident and have a different car. You know what I'm saying? You know, so don't thank God for the bad things that happen in your life. Thank God He's going to bring you through those bad things. And there's a difference, because if you start thanking God for the bad things, the devil's going to make sure you have a lot of bad things. I guarantee it. That's how he works. Once he sees an open window, he'll come through the door. He'll kick it down if he has to. That's why we got to beat him back. Lastly is praise. It's important to praise. Psalms 146, verse 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord!" Exclamation point, right? "Praise the Lord, O my soul!" Exclamation point. "I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." Well, as long as you're still on this planet, amen? And just a little tip, when you get to heaven, you're going to be praising God too. I read the back of the book, amen? So you might as well get some practice in down here. And we just need to start praising God and thanking Him. Thanking Him for all the great and mighty things. You know, Jesus said, you know, the Pharisees were getting on Him when He was walking through an area, and they was getting on Him because all the people were starting to praise Him, you know, and the Pharisees didn't like that, you know. He said, well, if these people didn't praise me, the rocks would cry out. If a rock can cry out, why can't we? Come on, really, think about it. Now, you don't have to be extroverted, like I said, the exclamation point, but just start praising Him and thanking Him for all the who that He is. You know, one way that we look at God, you know, is we praise, we both praise and we worship. Praise applauds God for what He's done, but worship honors God for who He is. And we have to look at it for both. See, God's just not the sugar daddy up there. You know, we thank Him, God, You gave me this, thank God for giving me that. But we worship God for who You are. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You could have gave up after Adam sinned and started all over. Done something different, but You didn't, Lord. You didn't give up on mankind. You didn't give up on Adam, and I know You're not going to give up on me. I worship You for that. Thank You for all the great and mighty things You're doing in my life. I thank You for the blessed family that You've given me, a good wife and children. I thank You, Lord, that You've given me a job where I can support my family and the gifts and talents You put inside of me. I praise You for all that, for You are worthy to be praised. You know, and just start praising God. And just see how that kind of edifies you. I mean, I'll be honest. When we praise and worship God, it blesses Him and we, you know, magnifies Him, but it makes us feel a whole lot better too. You know what I mean? So get into that habit. So this here is just the basic system that you can do, because what it is, it talks about He is holy and He is worthy for our praise. And I think we need to put God on the throne of our heart. And that's kind of what this is talking about. Like I mentioned, in between each of these stops, I'll just give you a little practical information. You know, take a little time, be quiet, and just let God speak. And with saying that, when you sit down and pray, I found out, and I've told you this before, but somebody may not have heard it, have a pencil or a pen and paper with you. Because inevitably, you're going to think of something you should be doing instead of praying. And as long as that's in your mind, you're not going to get it out. But if you take it out of your mind and put it on a piece of paper, you don't have to worry about it no more. Then you can go on to your praying. Also, God may tell you something that He wants you to know or wants you to do. And you could say, well, I'll remember. I forgot great things that God's told me. He may bring them back again, but He told me that once. And we have pens and paper. I mean, write it down. So just write those things down. And then document the date, and that's good, and then you'll have that. I also have a smartphone. I don't have it on me right now, but there's apps out there you can jot stuff down. I don't type good. I speak into it. You know, I do. I'll give you two names right now you can use. Microsoft OneNote. It comes. You may get it for free. I'm not sure. I pay my Office 365 subscription. And I get a deal, so it has folders in there. You can document things. When God speaks to me, I just put it down in my quick notes, and then I have maybe either sermon material or just stuff God wants to tell me. Also, there's another one that used to be free. I think it still is. It's called Evernote. But those are two things, and there's other note-taking apps you can do if you don't like writing. And just whenever God speaks to you, just speak it out. It's there. You'll never forget it, as long as you have internet connection. Amen? You'll be good to go. So that's just a little practical teaching about prayer and how important it is and how we can do it. Now, as I mentioned, this is just the system. You know, there's all kinds of these. You know, there's a prayer wheel that's 12 steps, but I thought that might freak some people out today. You know what I'm saying? So I went with the 5-step plan. You know what I mean? So there is another, it has more stops in it and stuff, and you can do that. But what I've done for you is, as well as this prayer hand that came from the navigators, it's a good tool, very simplistic, anybody can do it. And I think that if somebody did this, you could probably, I don't want to get locked in the time, so I kind of hate saying this word, but I bet you could pray at least 10 to 15 minutes, where maybe you used to pray 2 to 3 minutes. You know what I mean? So if you can spend more time in God's presence, how much stronger are you going to be in your faith? It's going to help you. So each of these stops, and like I said, on the back, I put, you know, some extra scriptures, and we're not going to do it today. I got a late start today, so we're not going to go into any other prayer in the Word. But all these, you know, as you look at one, like Psalms 139, I have there on confession. You know, it talks about, search me, O God, know my heart, if there's any hurtful way in me. And I'll be honest, God will tell you. If you've done something or said something, He'll bring it to your remembrance and just repent of it. Just get rid of that stuff. It's probably back in your conscience anyway, maybe kind of eating on you and you don't know what it is. I've known that, you know, in my life, like I can feel something kind of icky inside. Well, I know I've done something or maybe said something. Maybe somebody, and there's a lot of it just a misunderstanding. I mean, have you ever said something and somebody misunderstood you? Maybe the person sitting next to you, praise God, you know, you've been married to for a while. You maybe said it and all of a sudden they misunderstood what you said and they're mad. Well, it's still kind of on you a little bit, you know. It's on them too. But God, I just want to release that over to you. I don't want any hard feelings. You know, people at work, all this stuff. So each of these, I gave 4 scriptures, and I'll be honest, there's a lot more you can use. But I encourage you to have your Bible. Maybe get the Bible app, the YouVersion app. You can look it up real fast or whatever you want to do. But maybe each time you pray, maybe look up a different scripture. So that's, you know, 4 different scriptures you can look up for each one. And you, as you jot, maybe you can jot more ideas down, you know, things that you've done. I found something that I used to pray every day. I had it stuck in my Bible, and the ink was so rubbed off, I could hardly read it. So the other day, I went in, and I typed me up a paper. It's got like 30 or some scriptures that are positive affirmation scriptures that I used to pray all the time. And I haven't done it for years, just got off on other things. So I'm going back and praying those again, and boy, they're uplifting, you know. So find what works for you. This is just the start. And if you want more information, I'll help you. Just come see me. I don't know how to do math very good, but yesterday I think we had a 66% increase in prayer people. Did we? I don't know how to do that, you know. We had 3, used to have 3, now we have 5, praise God. So I encourage you, come, set a goal once a month to come and pray with us on a Saturday. And, you know, with this little tool and other things we have, and you can read your Bible, the time goes fast. So come do it, and it's a good way. See, that's part of discipleship. You know, if you would commit to me to spend a few minutes with me every now and then, I'll help you in your walk with God. But the thing is, you know, we got to get past this, and this is, I'm getting off in another territory, I don't want to, but I feel led to, is the fact that we need to get away from lecture-based relationship, where my relationship with you right now is lecture-based, because I'm the one doing all the talking, right? You don't get to talk back much. So, there's other ways to build that. Wednesday night Bible study. Come in and be a part of it. We offer classes every now and then, the Freedom class, and different things where you can come and, you know, or if you want to meet with me personally, let me know. We can discuss some things. That's part of discipleship. Jesus said, go make disciples. He didn't say, go make converts. So, let's get that in our mind. And you need to, as I've given you this, I want you to think of 2 or 3 people that you know that needs to know Jesus Christ and start praying for them.